Thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the book of Revelation. We thank you that God has brought about Christianity. It is not a human invention. We thank you for the Bible, the Word of God that enlightens us and inspires us and strengthens us and encourages us and provides everything we need to live for Jesus, to take up our cross and follow Him in a life of self-denial. I thank you that you don't save us and leave us, but you save us and begin to feed us the wonderful bread of life, the Word of the living God. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, for without Him, we could not understand the Word of God. It is spiritual, and we need spiritual enlightenment and a spiritual teacher and spiritual deliverance and spiritual divine persuasion in order to understand and live in wisdom and move forward to be pleasing unto the Lord. I thank you for the people here that love the Lord, that love the Word, that love to pray. They believe that God answers prayer. And they believe that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in life, the most important decision in life. Father, open up this book of Revelation as we are beginning to get into it. We don't want to miss anything. Reveal to us, enlighten us, open us up to all the principles and all the truth that we find in your Word. And may you give us the grace we need to live what we will find as we study this book of Revelation, so you may reveal your glory in us and through us, and others may see it and want to know about it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your printout as we begin. I hope you have something to write with, Bring him up here for a minute. Will he come up here? I'm going to use you as an example. Hi. Will you hold my hand? Hold my hand. Good. You're good. Can you turn around? Do you see what is on this cheek? It is Texas A&M. Now, the reason I brought him up here is not so much for Texas A&M, but to show you how committed these people are about Texas A&M. Okay, go ahead. Thank you. And we should be just as committed in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Let's begin reading. Hope you have something to write with. As I said a while ago, we have some notes that we need to take. The Revelation. The is emphatic in the Greek language. It means to stress something of great importance. The Revelation. You should know this by now, but if you don't, the word revelation is singular. It is not plural. Even though the tribulation is mentioned in the book of Revelation, even though the New Jerusalem coming down is mentioned, even though the seven seal scroll is mentioned, and Jesus will undo each one at a time, it is the revelation of one that rises above it all. And it is the resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ. So when you turn to the book of Revelation, I don't get real excited about anything else mentioned other than Jesus Christ and how the elements of Christ are revealed that have not been revealed in the books previous to Revelation. So we get to see Jesus Christ in a way we have not yet seen Him in the Word of God. John would tell you, I got a glimpse of that on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, I've also walked with Jesus. You know that, he says. I've talked with Him. And you know that I reclined in His lap. I was loved by Jesus Christ. He was not only my teacher, not only was I His disciple, but I loved Him. And as you'll find out, He loved Him so much, He never forgot the sound of His voice. He'll hear it shortly. Are you that close to Jesus? Do you love Him more than anything or anybody in your life? Does the voice of Jesus rise above all other voices in your life? Does Jesus Himself rise above all that is in your life? Is there an unveiling of Jesus Christ in your life? Is there an unwrapping of Jesus Christ in your life? Is Jesus Christ more than the God-man that walked on the earth for 33 and a half years? Are you receiving Jesus as the glorified, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? His majesty, His immense brilliance and brightness, so bright you can't even look at it, Paul said, on the road to Damascus. Who is this Jesus in your life? How is He displayed in your life? How is He manifested in your life? Back to the printout. The revelation of Jesus Christ, we'll go to that more in a moment, which God gave Him. Here's that little note I've already mentioned. Christianity has been revealed by God, not invented by humans. So God wants us to know that the book of Revelation did not come from a human being. It came from God. God is the source of revelation. Jesus Christ is the subject of revelation. The subject. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show. Underline that word show. The word show in the Greek language means to expose to the eyes. Actually, it means a verbal and visual communication. So John is going to get a verbal communication and he's going to get a visual communication. That's what the word show means. That God gave Him to show to His bond servants. Underline the word His. Once again, this word His in the Greek language is very emphatic. And again, it means to stress, to specifically define. So what is the message here? There is a revelation of Jesus Christ. There is an unwrapping or an unveiling of Jesus Christ. That God is only going to reveal to those who have received this resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ as their blessed Lord and Savior. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show to His bond servants. Underline the word bond servants. Several definitions here. Number one, it means no ownership rights. No ownership rights. If you're a bond servant of Jesus Christ has bought you. You're blood bought and you're more valuable than gold. You'll discover that as we begin to talk about the seven churches. Secondly, someone who belongs to another. You, Christian, do not, God says, belong to yourself. Well, how that would shatter all of the identity politics today, right? It's all about me. It's all about the selfies that we take. No. It's all about Jesus Christ. I have no rights to me. The rights belong to Jesus Christ. He paid for them in full. He deserves ownership. Therefore, when you come to Jesus Christ, His personal Lord and Savior, you give up your agenda. For now you be asking, now that you belong to the Lord, Lord, what is it you desire of me? What do you have for me? What is this spiritual gift that you have gifted me with so I may serve in the ministry and be pleasing unto you and be used by you and be a blessing to others as I serve you? Number three, bondservant. Believers who willingly live. Did you notice when you get saved, Jesus does not force you to do anything. When you get saved, Jesus will not force you to do anything. He has given you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will divinely lead you. He will divinely enable you. He will divinely persuade you to do what the Lord wants to do in your life. Believers who willingly live under Christ's authority as His devoted followers. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show, to expose to the eyes, actually it means a verbal and visual communication, to his, emphatically, believers in Jesus Christ, bondservants, the things which must soon take place. Underline that phrase, must soon take place. There are three things here. Number one, John's message had a relevance for his day as well as for the future. John's message had a relevance for his day as well as for the future. Number two, look at the word must. You might want to underline that word or circle it. The word must means that which is binding, that which is inevitable, and Connie, your favorite word, that which is non-negotiable. So he's saying to John, I want you to write down what I tell you. What I'm telling you is this. There are things that are coming. I promise you, they're coming. It's inevitable. Nothing, no man, nothing, no war, no power is going to change what is coming. For what is coming has been decided upon in eternity past by divine decree. We will not negotiate it. We will not change it. Number three, and this is what I really want you to grasp here. When these events start taking place, they will take place very rapidly. When these events take place, he is saying, they will begin to take place very rapidly. Very rapidly. All right, let's go back. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. Now, I hope you have a right understanding of that. So what he's saying, when these events begin, then they will begin to fulfill prophecy very, very rapidly, very fast in rapid succession. Must soon take place, and he sent and communicated. The word communicated means expressing in signs. Expressing in signs, S-I-G-N-S. He sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. Look what it says in parentheses. The book of Revelation is not a secret book. It's a book that unwraps secrets. God wants to tell everyone what He plans to do. Now let's look at that word revelation. In parentheses, it is apocalypsis. Two things here. Number one, revelation is an unveiling and clarification of things. Revelation is an unveiling and clarification of what it unveils. Secondly, it is God's intention to reveal and not to conceal. So don't say or don't walk away from here and say, I just can't understand the book of Revelation. Yes, you can. Because if you are God's servant, if you are a child of the living God, you have the Holy Spirit within you. He will give you the understanding. He will unveil what you are not understanding up to this point because He is the revealer, the unveiler of the book of Revelation. Now let's begin. Number one, in this book, it means truth. Revelation in this book means truth. Underline the word truth. We're talking about absolute truth that has come from God Himself. In this book, it means absolute truth from God. He's the source. Through Jesus Christ, mediated by visions and angelic interpretation. It focuses on the evil present and the coming victory of righteousness through God's, underline this, supernatural intervening. God is going to intervene. And I assure you, and you should already know, that nothing can stop God when He decides to act. Nothing can intervene in what He has chosen to do from eternity past. So God will set things straight. Thank goodness for that. Number two, Revelation. There is another note that you don't have connected to Revelation. Here it is. A particular spiritual manifestation of Christ. Revelation. A particular spiritual manifestation of Christ. What is he saying? John is saying you're going to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ that the other books do not reveal, do not show you. So that's what he's saying here. A particular spiritual manifestation of Christ, and that is a glorification of God, and it is so awesome. I have no words really to define it. Revelation, number two, it means to remove a veil or curtain. Question, can you remove a veil or curtain in the spiritual realm on your own? The answer is no, it cannot be done. That's why Ephesians 5:18 is so very, very important. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Why? So He, when He wishes, can unveil a truth that is spiritual that has been right in front of you for years and years and years. How many Christians say, I'm just not getting it. I don't understand it. I need to hear from the Lord. Let me ask you something. Is Ephesians 5:18 a scripture that you quote, that you say every day of your Christian life? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled. That is a command. It is an imperative in the Greek language. It is not an option. Let me tell you, every day Jesus says, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because this may be the day that I decide to unwrap something that is spiritual that you've been wanting to know about, that you have needed in your life for a long, long time. And you've been working on it, Jesus says, haven't you? And you say, yes, Lord, I have. And that's why I'm kicking the can. And that's why I'm smoking cigarettes. That's why I'm chewing tobacco here. You know, what I'm trying to say is this, Lord. I just am not getting it together. I'm not understanding. And God says, when you come to me and decide to be my bond servant and decide it's not about you, it's all about me, and ask the Holy Spirit to do what I sent him to do in you as my child, then get ready because I am about to unveil something or unwrap something that you have needed right before you in your presence for so long. Do you understand what he's saying? Okay. It means to remove a veil or curtain, number two, to have an unobstructed view of what has been there all the time. Let me tell you, you're going to get frustrated, very frustrated, if you think you can bring about spiritual answers to your spiritual problems in your life as a child of the living God. If you have a spiritual difficulty or adversity or hardship, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the answer. What is it, Holy Spirit, that has been an obstruction all this time that has been keeping me from getting the answer that I need to mature and move forward in my Christianity? You've got to go to the Holy Spirit, because you cannot spiritually unveil or unwrap anything in your life to get an answer. It means to remove a veil or curtain, to have an unobstructed view of what has been there all the time. Now that the veil has been removed, you have a revelation. Two things here. So revelation is the progressive unveiling of Jesus Christ. Revelation is the progressive unveiling of Jesus Christ. Number two, this revelation is about studying God and submitting in obedience to that which may be known. All right, now skip down to the next paragraph under two. If the Holy Spirit personally gives you a revelation, an unveiling, an unwrapping of something, He's, you might want to underline He and write the Holy Spirit, not you. You can't make the spiritual life happen. You're not made to do that. You are to respond to what the Holy Spirit brings about in your life as you become submissive to the Word of the living God. If the Holy Spirit personally gives you a revelation, notice the word if here, circle it please. It would be a third class condition and means maybe He will, maybe He won't. If He's not acting on your timetable, don't try to be the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't try to make something happen that only He can make happen, all right? If the Holy Spirit personally gives you an unveiling or an unwrapping of something, of some spiritual truth, He's pulled the curtains apart and He allows you to see. I can't see anything spiritual if it's sitting right beside me. So what needs to be done? Ephesians 5:18. Holy Spirit, enable me to see that which is spiritual. Everything I look at with my physical eyes has a spiritual sense behind it. And we've got to learn to look beyond the physical to the spiritual behind the physical. And therefore, Baptists, and I say this because we have a tendency to have a hard, difficult time saying anything about the Holy Spirit. We believe, now that we're Christians, we can make happen what we want to make happen. But that's not so. As a child of God, we are 100% dependent upon the Holy Spirit as our divine enabler in the life of Christianity. If the Holy Spirit personally gives you a revelation, He's pulled the curtains apart and He allows you to see something about your life situation. He's allowed you to clearly see something that was there, but you were never able to see it on your own. When the Holy Spirit gets involved, He removes the veil and enables you to see what you need to see. I know this is weird, but you know me. Mark chapter 14. I have never seen this. Mark chapter 14. verse 51 and 52. I'm going to use this as an illustration here. Mark chapter 14, verse 51. Jesus is in the garden of Gethsemane. I have read this and I have read this. But who's the naked boy running through the garden?
Mark.
They say. That's good. This is what this Bible says. It says John Mark. It says it has to be John Mark. They've been at his house. He pretty well knows what's going on. He's kind of been a scribe. I want you to listen to something. Let's read it. Verse 51. A young man was following him, wearing only a linen. Underline the word linen, please. Wearing only. He's naked under that linen. A linen sheet over his naked body, and some men seized him. By pulling free of the linen sheet, he escaped from them naked. This is interesting. The word linen. Make sure you got it wrote down or underlined. The word linen in the Greek means used for wrapping dead bodies. So who's the naked boy in the garden? Who's been in the garden? Who was in the garden? Who's been talking in the garden? Jesus Christ. Was Lazarus resuscitated? Again, the word linen used for wrapping dead bodies. So who's the naked boy that goes running through the garden? When you want to get down and study this, the power of God was so great, Jesus Christ, for He is God. When He spoke, and that's all it takes. Come forth, Lazarus. Here's a little boy. More than a little boy. Hadn't been in a tomb long, evidently. Wrapped in a what? Linen. Used for wrapping dead bodies. Who was he? He had crawled out of the grave. And went running. They tried to grab him, right? They got the linen that was used to wrap dead bodies, right? That's the God you serve. When He speaks, it's power. He is all powerful. And it can go through anything to get to anybody. Wrap your head around that one for a while. Back to the printout. In Revelation, under 2, second paragraph, we see Jesus as He was never revealed in the Gospels. Now you know why. Because God had a special book for Jesus Christ to be revealed in. We're progressing towards that point, right, Jeff? Here comes Jesus. Here comes the virgin birth. We see Him as the God-man. Then we know He's what? Put on a cross, He goes and is put in a tomb, and then He's resurrected. Is that the last of Jesus? Do you see the progression? He wasn't supposed to be mentioned in the Gospels like this. There was a book waiting for His magnificent, immense glorification. As it wasn't to be revealed until we got to the book of Revelation. In Revelation, we see Jesus as he was never revealed in the gospel. It's not a new Jesus. I've heard people say, boy, this is a brand new Jesus. He's been this way all the time. The incarnate Son of God. He was always glorified. Always in his glory. Hang on. It is not a new Jesus. It's the elements of Jesus that were never visible to the human eyes when he, Jesus, walked on the earth. This view of Jesus was obstructed, and for a reason. Now John is in the island of Patmos in a cave called the Cave of Revelation. And he's having a revelation of Jesus Christ. Who's giving him this revelation? It is the Holy Spirit. Suddenly the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God, is pulling apart the veil. And John sees into the realm of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit had not pulled it apart, he wouldn't have been able to see what he saw. There's so much in the Bible you need to see and understand, but it's all spiritual seeing and it's all spiritual understanding. And you can't just throw the Bible on some stand or coffee table when you go home and then bring it back the next Sunday. If you're going to spiritually see and understand, you got to get in the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, whatever is obstructing my view of what I need to see and understand that will help me live a better life under Christ, let me see as I should and take that obstruction away. Brother, if you don't want to get in the Spirit, you get nothing. What do you think this book is right here? The Bible is the spiritual Word of Almighty God. Now, John is in the island of Patmos in a cave called the Cave of Revelation. And he's having a revelation of Jesus Christ. Did he ask for it? No. God said, now is the time. I have moved you, John, to the island of Patmos. And now I'm getting you ready, and you know nothing about it. That's when some of your best church services are going to happen. When you don't anticipate that the glory of God is about to fall upon you. But brother, here it comes. God, give me spiritual understanding of the glory of God that has just fallen upon this church service. Suddenly the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God, is pulling apart the veil. And John sees into the realm of the Spirit. And he sees Christ as he's never seen him before. This is not a new Christ. This is who Christ always was. He was just never able to see it before until the Holy Spirit removed the hindering force and suddenly John's view becomes unobstructed and sees Christ in all of his glory and elements of Christ he had never seen with natural eyes. Notice of Jesus Christ, top of page 2. Number 1, top of page 2. Jesus Christ is the possessor of the revelation and is the person giving it. Christ acts as revealer in the book. Let's look at A. He, Christ, reveals the conditions within the churches. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation. You should be there. Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 10 through 13. Revelation 1, 10 through 13. Here we go. Then I turned to see, this is John in verse 12. I want to start there for just a moment, just to read that simple little statement right there. Then I turned to see. So he is turning to see something, and he's going to turn all the way around. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit. There we go. I was in the Spirit. He didn't say I was in the flesh. He didn't say I was in church. He said, I was in the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Do you see what the Spirit did with John on the island of Patmos? He can do with you anything He wants anywhere. Do you understand that? You don't have to be in church. You can be anywhere and receive an unveiling from the Holy Spirit. I was in the Spirit in special communication with the Holy Spirit and empowered, there we go, empowered. You can't empower yourself. That is divine enablement to receive and record the revelation from Jesus Christ on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. What did we say earlier? How long had John been with Jesus? 3.5 years? He heard a lot of words coming from him, didn't he? And you know what he'll tell you? And I've never forgotten his voice in 60 years. Verse 11, saying, write on a scroll what you see in this revelation and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And after turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the, where? Midst, underline the word midst, it is very important. And in the midst of the lampstands, I saw someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching to his feet, and with a golden sash wrapped, where? Not around his waist, but around his chest. And there is a reason for that I'll not get into. I'm going to read you something right quick. If you haven't underlined the word midst, I want you to underline it, and then please listen to this. Midst means in the middle or in the center. This means Jesus Christ right now is standing in the very center of Hainesville Baptist Church. How can he stand in the middle of all of his local assemblies, local churches? Jesus Christ is everywhere present. Does it bother you that he's right here? And he's walking around. You know what that means? There's nowhere I won't go in my house. Will it change how you worship? Knowing he's right there? Knowing he's right here? Knowing he's right there? Just listen. Number two. Regardless of the problems we will have from time to time, He, Jesus Christ, will never distance Himself from us. I don't want to ever, and I know I won't, ever catch somebody looking down their nose at somebody else that has walked into this room to worship. I don't care if you got hair down to your knees. I don't care if you got a ring in your nose and your navel and your ears and everywhere else. If someone comes in here, it's God's house. It's not your house. It's not my house. And when they come in here, don't be guilty of turning away somebody led here. His name is God. I wonder if we're going to hear that at the judgment seat and say, you know what? Here's three people I led to your church on Sunday morning, and you led them back out because they didn't fit your standard. They didn't look the way you thought they ought to look. If I'm not mistaken, the church is for sick people, and we're all sick. Regardless of the problems we will have from time to time, He, Jesus Christ, will never distance Himself from us. Regardless of our imperfections and problems, He will always be here in the midst of it all. Amen to that. Number three, this also means Jesus Christ is not ashamed of His church, even though it is comprised of flawed human beings. Number four, having purchased our redemption through His death and resurrection, Jesus is now delighted to abide in the midst of His blood-bought people whom He values as pure gold. Anybody ever throw gold away? Then be careful you don't throw it away when somebody walks in this church. Because in the Lord's eyes, you're messing with pure gold. Back to the printout. Page 2 very quickly. B, He opens the seal of the seven seal scroll to reveal God's judgment on earth. C, Christ is the object of the revelation. This glorious Christ is to be revealed. He takes center stage. He takes center stage. He, I'll say it, takes center stage. Who takes center stage in this church? None other than Jesus Christ. Again, He rises above all that we do. We take orders from Him. We praise Him. We give glory unto Him. It's all about Him. And when it's all about Him, He will provide everything we need to function and progress in Christianity and serve those that are not in Christ yet. But hopefully, by a good testimony, by the Word of God, God will call them into His body of believers. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. The person D of Christ is to be unveiled with dire consequences for this earth where men once gave Him a cross. Jesus, the one who walked as man on earth. It stresses His humanity, the incarnate, eternal Son of God. When Jesus was here as the incarnate Son of God, was He at that moment eternal? The answer is yes. Look at the word Christ. It stresses the deity of Christ. The anointed one. Anointed when? In eternity past. By who? There you go. In the Holy Trinity. Is this a divine decree? Is it non-negotiable? So who is the Savior that all men are to be drawn to? It is Jesus Christ and nobody else. And maybe that Muslim needs to understand that in Washington. It's Jesus. It's not Allah. It's Jesus Christ. He is the revelation singular of what? Almighty God. The subject of this book, Jesus Christ. He is the one, number one under Christ, the one who fulfilled messianic expectation. What is messianic expectation? Here it goes. Messianic expectation that Jesus came to fulfill is this: humility. If Jesus is in you, then humility is in you. Secondly, submission. If Jesus is in you, submission to the Father and the Word is in you. There is suffering. You will take up your cross and you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what the cost. And then it is death. If death is required, Jesus calls for it, then so be it. Well, that got a lot of them out of church. Here we go. The subject of this book, Christ Jesus. The source of this book is God. God is giving to Jesus Christ the revelation of how God will vindicate this earth rejected, yet heaven anointed God man. What makes Jesus what He is? Brother, He has been anointed. He has been God honored before anything ever existed. And how the church can worship anything else than the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, I do not understand. It is plainly written in the Word of the living God. It's all about Jesus or nothing. That God gave unto him. Underline the word God. The word God in the Greek is theos. T-H-E-O-S. And here's what it means. God, creator. God, owner. God, sustainer of all things. God gave. Underline the word gave. The word gave means entrusted. Shows that in the execution of divine purpose in redemption, Christ is the recipient of a gift. Is salvation a gift? It's a grace gift. Is that correct? Why is it a grace gift? Because grace says God has done something for you that you can never ever do for yourself. So it's a grace gift that has been entrusted. Aren't you glad your salvation has been entrusted to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. He's going to deal with it as he should. All right. Here's the word gave. It means to entrust. This is the revelation God entrusted to Christ. Christ is the perfect mediator. He communicates it to others. Number one, Christ is the dependent man. Are you? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know what the word poor means? Blessed are those who are 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ. Are you God's dependent man or woman? His works, His words, even now in glory, is still the dependent God-man. You mean He's still doing that? Yes, listen. Until the purposes of God have been fully realized on earth. Is that not submission? Is that not obedience? Why did God give the gift of what? Salvation unto Christ? Because He's all this. God knew He could trust Him to be obedient unto Him in all things and never turn away. In the garden, you and I wouldn't have drank from the cup. He drank it all down. He drank every sin that would ever be committed by everyone born on planet Earth. And He drank in every sin. Except the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief is the only sin He didn't drink in. And that's the only sin that'll send you to the lake of fire. But Terry, I thought it was one of these others, you know, murder, something really bad. You know what? When Jesus died on the cross, and you know what I'm about to say, He paid your sin debt in full. I mean full, completely full. You owe Him nothing in reference to sin, but if you die in unbelief, rejecting God's only Son as Savior, you're going to the lake of fire. Christ despised on earth is honored of God in heaven. Point number one, the glory associated with the risen Jesus Christ is about to be revealed. And brother, the next time we get together, we're going to probably be in about verse 9 and we're fixing to hit it, okay? Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we here at this church, we thank You for the book of Revelation. We are not scared of it. We welcome it. Blessed is the one who reads it. Just read it and you get blessed. Thank You for revealing Jesus in a way we've not yet seen. That will encourage us as we stand in the face of every opposition. no matter the adversity or the trials. We've got a glimpse of the heavenly, resurrected, glorified Jesus. And He is the conqueror, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. It's all in His hands. He does have the whole world in His hands and all of heaven too. Thank you for saving grace. Thank you that you walk in the midst of the churches and you're not here to beat us down, but you're here to lift us up. You're here to let us know some things we need to correct and thank us for the things that are going good. And you know what? You even warn us of what's coming. You warn your people of what lies ahead. You're God. You've already seen it. You've already provided for it. You know how it's going. And thank you, Father, that if the world does end in 12 years, it'll be because it was on your agenda to end. Bless these people. Strengthen them. Inspire them. Pull back the veil. Unwrap the things that have kept us from seeing that which is spiritual, that has been greatly needed in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.